Episode of Movie Mastery. It's the show where we watch the movies that you recommend to us. I am your host, John, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Jeff.
Y'all ready for this?
Indeed they are.
Good.
I wasn't really ready for Ang Lee's Hulk, which is what we watched.
Oh my god.
Because I only ever saw this in theaters the one time. When it came out, like 15, 16 years ago. When the fuck was this? 2003. Jesus, 17,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, no. This is old as hell.
I saw that.
I didn't see it in theaters. I saw it a few years later on home video, and probably on DVD, and I was very unimpressed. Maybe I waited too long?
I mean, the whole entire point of the movie essentially is just Ang Lee trying to do stuff with the visuals. So at least when you see it on a big screen, you're like, oh, look at all these visual things you're trying to do. And if you just watch it, you know, as I did on a laptop, you're like, yep,
I guess. I mean, he does a whole lot of panel transitions and complicated wipes and fades from one thing to another by messing with the color gradient, all in the service of trying to create a sort of comic book look. I don't know if it ever does live up to comic book look, just because so much of the time the multi-frame transitions that he's doing are just 8 different angles on the same helicopter.
Oh, yeah. When I was watching the other night, I was like, you know, here's the thing. In a comic book, you would never have this many panels for what you're doing right now, because that would be a waste of space in a visual medium. Speaking of a waste of space in a visual medium, you also shouldn't take this long for this scene.
Yeah, everything in this movie runs a bit long. This thing is 2 hours and 18 minutes.
And boy howdy, is most of that just good-looking people whispering in the dark.
Yeah. Also, Nick Nolte's here.
And then Nick Nolte shows up so that he can growl in the dark.
Yep. Also, some exceedingly stilted line readings, especially early on, like when we're getting the introduction to Jennifer Connelly's Betty Ross, and she's just like, oh, I suppose you're simply another symptom of my unavoidable attraction to distant men. And he's just like, oh, dude, you don't need to say that much. You're so specific. This is hurting.
Yeah. I mean, God, having come back to it for the first time in 17 years, I was like, ooh, this is worse than I remember. Like, I came out of Hulk in the theaters and was like, that wasn't great. And at least it was, you know, a Hulk movie-ish. Like, I got to see Hulk on the big screen. Hooray.
They do
and
some stuff
it had
here.
Some interesting stuff. Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
They do some stuff here with the Hulk's physicality that I think is exceedingly well thought out. I mean, granted, it's not especially well animated because it was made in 2003. So this guy's green is day glow green.
He is straight up just the pie filling from a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Hostess cream pie.
Yeah, you assume if you ever see his back, it just says, like, children live in this neighborhood, slow down, written on it in Sharpie. he is aggressively nuclear bright. They do an okay job with the hair and the facial features and everything. It's impressive for 2003, but we've seen a lot of Hulk movies since then, and this really hurts. But again, like I'm saying, they do a lot of things here to kind of give you an idea of the raw physical power of what the Hulk is, and I think they do some neat stuff.
Yeah, no, I think this isn't probably as bad as the reputation that it gets, because Hulk gets a lot of hate, and, you know, it definitely isn't good, but I don't think it's as bad, probably, as the internet would have you believe.
I would say it's honestly right on par with the Ed Norton Hulk movie. Like, they're almost the same thing. They're getting the whole thing wrong for various different reasons. In this one, it's the misguided visual stylings that are certainly very interesting, but don't seem to actually hit the mark they're shooting for. And then in the Ed Norton Hulk, it's just that's not Bruce Banner at all. That's just Ed Norton. And then finally, you hit the very reasonable Mark Ruffalo later on in the career of the Hulks. And Mark Ruffalo seems to have a great grasp on both of the roles, both of the concepts.
Yeah, no. Ruffalo can knock it out the park.
Yeah.
Luke, knock it out the box.
Where Eric Bana here, is it just me, or does this look like Eric Bana if you basically somehow you took Adam Scott and just siphoned all the funny out of him?
Ah.
That's what Eric Bana looks like in this movie.
Well, it's, I know that he's trying to, Eric Bana's trying real hard in this movie to be like, all right, what's Bruce Banner? Bruce Banner's a quiet nerd. All right, I got to try and channel as much quiet nerd as I can. And you're just looking at it going like, yeah, but mostly what that means to you is someone that's dull, apparently.
I mean, they say it right at the beginning. I already mentioned that. Emotionally distant men. And boy, does he ever play that to the hilt. He just looks like he's bored with his own movie. This is one of the things they did so well with the Ruffalo Hulk is that his banner is sort of an adorable, endlessly put upon dumpus. He doesn't want to be in the situations he's constantly in, but instead of being like, I will remain perfectly calm and still, he's like, I'm a little worried about things. And I think that's a good take on the character, the Bruce Banner character.
Oh, yeah.
Ultimately, of course, this movie also positions Hulk's dad as the villain, which is just dumb.
You know what? We're gonna get into all of it. We're gonna listen to a little bit of music, and then we're gonna go into the full spoiler blow by blow for Ang Lee's Hulk. Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. Stand a little back, and it is time to really figure out what's going on with the emotional backstory of the Hulk.
So, yeah, the whole decision to make Nick Nolte as Eric Bana's father in this movie, I think he actually gets the David first name as like a little connection.
Yes.
to the TV show. David Banner playing the scientist who is working on genetic regeneration and immortality and shit like that, who goes to experiment on himself and then, you know, has a baby and the baby has the same stuff in him and blah, blah, blah. It's interesting, but he's basically playing a mad scientist, not by way of crazy, but by way of exceedingly angry.
Yeah, the problem I have with Nick Nolte in this primarily is that we never really get any sort of consistent idea of what the character wants. Like, at first we go like, oh, he's obsessed with his research and he wants the research to succeed. But then as soon as he realizes that he's passed on this mutation that he did to himself, to his kid, he's like, oh no, now I need to find a cure. And I think that, like, everything that I've done up to this point is abominable and it's terrible. And then he goes back and he's like, oh no, now I actually, you know, need to destroy this child. No, I love my child. No, I hate my child. I love the Hulk.
Right, yeah. And all the way through it, he's constantly making weird pronouncements in his Nick Nolte growl, which don't really seem to match his characterization or just sort of change dramatically as we're making our way through. There's a point where he suddenly starts yelling biblically about something. And to that point, he's had no kind of higher power or opinions on the weaknesses of mankind or whatever, but then all of a sudden he's like, and they shall fear us and they shall lay their prostate before us for their sins. It's like, what the fuck is this? Where is this
no,
coming
I don't
from?
Want to lay my prostate before you.
No, it's cool, he's a doctor. You're getting up there in years, John. It's time to take care of your prostate health with Nick Nolte.
It's time for Nick Nolte to get up in your booty hole.
Think about the importance of finding out if you have rectal cancer early on with Nick Nolte.
Yeah, the thing with this movie having a lot to do with, like, father issues, because it's, of course, going to have Nick Nolte and Bana as the whole, you know, father-son Banner science abomination nonsense going on.
But then also
you've got Betty Ross and Thunderbolt Ross with Jennifer Connelly and Sam Elliott as their sort of like a person of science and someone who follows like strict rules and has more like, I don't believe in whatever, which is very strange.
Yeah, we've got a multiple father figure thing going on. And this is another thing that I feel like might be new to this movie and not part of the regular Hulk continuity, is that Banner's parents both die on the Gamma Bomb Day, as far as he is aware. This actually doesn't happen, but he thinks it did. And so he gets adopted and changes his name to Bruce Krenzler.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I understand that they were like, oh, because we want to do an entire, like, oh, the sins of the father type storyline and the
we have like a
rage
genetic
of everything that happened in your childhood and so on. And I get that.
We even have
a
genetic destiny thing going on where young Banner starts like instinctively researching the same scientist that his dad did.
Yeah. And so, like, I understand they wanted to do that. It's just weird to be like, yeah, I know that that's like literally nothing to do with the character in the comic book at all, but fuck it.
I mean, ultimately, the problem is that there's never really a lot of daddy issue shit with Incredible Hulk. That's not a part of the character, but it is a part of the character with almost every superhero movie main character, so I feel like they just shoved it in there.
Oh, yeah. They were like, okay, well, how do we get, like, attention here for the Hulk? Like, Hulk is based on emotion, so what's the emotions we should really have it play here to make him angry? And they were like, oh, well, clearly, because it's a superhero movie, it needs to be something to do with his father.
Yeah, exactly. They were like, well, okay, Batman is powered by his dad dying. Spider-Man is powered by his uncle dying. Superman has two dads, and he has to deal with the constant push-pull over which one wants him to do which thing and living up to their various ideals. And so when it comes time to do this Hulk movie, obviously it has to have a strong dad element. Every successful superhero movie to this point has. Discounting X-Men, I guess, and probably Steel.
Yeah.
But I mean,
well, you said it's successful, so.
Fair enough. But X-Men was 3 years earlier, and it didn't have a lot of dad shit in it. But Blade had an extremely strong father figure issue.
In
Nick Nolte, and also in Whistler. So it was just a completely regular thing for a superhero movie to be like, fuck it, put an angry dad in there. And I think it's to this movie's detriment. I mean, I don't mind Nick Nolte as a villain. I kind of like him as an actor. But for him to be this dad figure who, like, did way more of the Hulk groundwork than the Hulk did, I feel like it kind of is pulling away from the main story significantly.
Oh, yeah. Well, part of the whole Hulk story as well is sort of Banner's comeuppance slash punishment for his own invention, like him inventing a gamma bomb that he is the one that takes the blast from and then becomes this monster, is very much, you know, in the whole mad scientist, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, I did a thing and created my own monster.
Right.
And having it just be like, oh no, it's because your dad did weird stuff before you were born, and that's the only reason, and then you happened to accidentally activate it with an unrelated experiment, you're like, this takes something away from that.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Anyway, in the beginning, Banner, the older one, is getting in trouble because his research is too unusual and, you know, standard mad scientist being shut down stuff, and they're like, you cannot possibly do human trials. And then he responds by just doing the obvious thing, which is human trials on himself.
Yeah, because that's what you do if you're a mad scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a young Thunderbolt Ross is the one telling the young David Banner that he can't do this. And I know we normally do blow-by-blow stuff, but I also, God, I keep going into just overarching things. I really hate the way that they portray Ross in this.
Yeah.
Because General Ross is supposed to basically be, in a human form, what Banner is in a Hulk form. He's constantly angry, he's yelling, he wants results, he slams his fists on things, but Sam Elliott just plays it as like, well, I'm Sam Elliott, I'm just gonna be Sam Elliott.
Well, yeah, they basically try to do it as he's not the bad guy, he's just doing what he has to because he's a military man. But overall, he's concerned with everyone else's well-being and happiness and so on. He's the bad guy who has a heel or a face turn towards the end.
Yeah, they decided that they were like, oh no, it's not that Ross is the bad guy. It's that, you know, his dad is the bad guy and Elliot's just here trying to do his best.
Yeah, I mean, the movie still has two full beginning-to-end villains in it in the form of Nick Nolte's character. And Josh Lucas is in this as Glenn Talbot. A regular in early Hulk storyline stuff, who routinely gets redefined as a random different thing every time he's in any kind of media. He was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He was the guy who ended up being the Graviton of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, they just kind of don't really know what to do with that character, so.
Well, yeah, and that's a common thing with a lot of the Hulk, the early Hulk allies and so on from Hulk comics, like, I don't know, Wyatt Wingfoot or Doc Samson. Like, they're willing to mention them and have them be part of the world, but they're usually just like, I'm your regular friend. I don't have weird green hair and super muscles.
I'm just some psychologist.
Yeah, I'm just, what was that, Ty Burrell?
Yeah, it was. Jesus.
As the only Doc Samson that I think has been in filmed format so far. I don't know, maybe there's a Doc Samson in the 1988 TV movie.
I mean, it's weird to me that they've never done a Rick Jones thing, because
yeah, that
was from the very beginning his sort of, like, that's who he saved when he became the Hulk and just sort of was someone there trying to help him, and it just never comes up in here, and I don't know why. And I mean, I do know why. It's because they want the role that Rick would normally play to go to Betty Ross, because we also need to have a love interest no matter what.
And that's economical to be like, what I'm curious about is how come that extra random scientist in this movie, I think his name was like Handler or something, why he wasn't just the Rick Jones role. Why not just make him Rick Jones? I mean, if you're going to make Glenn Talbot into evil business executive, then why not just go whole hog?
Yeah, it's weird because I think it's Harper is the scientist. And all we get is a little bit when Banner shows up to work for the first time as an adult. He's, you know, riding a bike and has a bicycle helmet on, and Harper gives him a hard time for looking like a nerd, even among scientists.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get like one more scene of him, and then he gets saved by Banner as, you know, he jumps in front of the gamma blast in order to save him, sort of like you get from the standard Hulk comic book of pushing Rick Jones into a shelter as he gets blasted by the bomb.
Yeah, but I mean, ultimately, that's a perfect spot to just have that character be named Rick Jones.
And also, that character disappears at that point.
Yeah, he does.
After he gets saved, they're like, oh yeah, Harper's recovering. Anyway, he won't be in this film anymore. And you're like, okie dokie.
Also, I really enjoy him telling Eric Bana that he looks like a nerd.
Yeah.
It's like this little 5'2 guy with a flannel shirt and an exceedingly bad mustache is like, Eric Bana, you look like an undateable nerd right now. And Eric Bana, you know, 6'3 Hollywood type is like, yeah, I guess you're right. I look completely undateable. Maybe if
you're
I took
right.
off these overalls and let my hair shake out.
I should take off these glasses.
Imagine if that was what happened. He was like, oh, you're right, Harper. And he took off his bike helmet and just a cascade of beautiful hair came out. Oh my God. You're not a scientist at all. You're a hunk.
Some kind of incredible hunk.
Yeah, so as a grown-up, Eric Bana, there's an interesting moment where they skip Eric Bana, his childhood. Like, he's a teenager for one scene, and then the very next shot, with no kind of transition or effect to let us know that we're going to the future, is him walking into a lab office with his bike helmet on, and you only see him from behind, and you're like, oh, okay, so we're going to do some teenage Bruce Banner stuff in this movie. Nope, that's just Eric Bana as a full-grown adult. We just didn't feel like doing the next bit.
Yeah, for a movie that is so obsessed with transitions and just doing the most experimental, weird wipes and transitions and things like that, the fact that they just kind of dropped the ball on letting you know that we went from teenager to adult is a little weird.
Yeah. He works in a lab where they are doing basically the same thing that his dad did. The movie opens with this awesome series of shots of David Banner cutting up sea creatures and getting their goops and trying to form extra regenerate-y serums out of all their goops and fluids. But
yes,
obviously as an adult, Banner is a lot calmer. And so he's just using nanomeds, they keep calling them, which are apparently microscopic things that float in an air tank to repair gashes on frogs, but they keep blowing the frogs up instead.
Yeah. I have to wonder exactly what was going on with this when they're like, oh, the experiment is we have these like nanites that will get into someone's body, and whenever they detect damage, they'll go to try and heal.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we decided that the way to activate these is to blast a motherfucker with gamma radiation. And I'm like, that is not a thing you want to design your machine around.
Yeah, it's kind of amusing. I guess they were like, well, how do we turn them on? Gamma radiation. Well, couldn't we just do it with, like, you know, a little electric charge or maybe like a gas reaction?
Or if we have to do it with gamma, like maybe blast them with gamma and then put them on the frog.
But nope. We do all of them, and then we have to watch a frog blow up in this movie, which is gross.
It's so gross.
But it's okay. We go on like this for a while. Nick Nolte, now an old man, shows up as a janitor working at Banner's new lab.
Yep. Now, I mean, I mentioned it before, but goddamn, the beginning and honestly most of this movie is people in dark settings, like, stage whispering at each other.
Yeah.
Just constantly being very quiet and even toned, being like, you know, Bruce, we really need to get all of this together for our experiment for Tuesday. Yes, I know, Betty. But, you know, it's going to be hard. I'm like, you two can, oh my God, have any sort of interest to you. Anything. Yeah,
they do their best to make you okay with the fact that Banna is playing Banner as a boring motherfucker by having him identified right away as an emotionally distant person who keeps his thoughts and feelings to himself.
But the problem is, everyone else is doing the same shit. Everyone else is also just sitting around in a dark room, quietly whisper talking.
Yeah, this isn't Jennifer Connelly's best movie.
No, by far not.
She is pretty much like, I am so... Basically, she's playing Betty Ross like she was in Ghost World. It's not... It doesn't really add up. You don't have all that much emotion coming out of either of the leads. You need Nick Nolte's rambly, growly smokers yelling to kind of bring any air of interest to the proceedings.
Yeah. Although, even then, when fucking Jennifer Connelly goes to visit Nick Nolte and be like, hey, you know, you're Bruce's dad, what's going on? Nolte still just sits there and he's like, I'm gonna growl at you, I'm talking, I'm gonna tell you. I'm basically Sling Blade at this point. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that definitely happens. While they're working in their lab, Glenn
late one night, their eyes beheld an eerie sight.
It was a poodle. Glenn Talbot comes in. And at this point in the movie, we know that he used to work for Thunderbolt Ross, but now he's gone corporate for a significant salary boost for some sort of defense contracting company called Atheon. And he is here to attempt to poach Betty Ross out of this low-paying public lab.
Yeah, basically he's like, this lab, I want essentially you and all of the experiment that you are doing right now to come be done for us. Because if it actually succeeds, this would be ridiculously powerful.
Yeah, and Betty kind of just sort of brushes him off, because he comes in, he's like, look, we could do something incredible with this, and you're working with inadequate facilities. Let me give you every single possible research tool you'll need, and also you'll get paid times as much. And she's like, yeah, but then it'll belong to you guys instead of belonging to the world. Here's the door. So we get this sort of thing from the two of them, from Betty and Bruce, that their research, they are very, very insistent that it be made public at every step of the way.
Oh, yeah. They're like, this isn't a thing for the military, because that's sort of what everyone else is looking at it as. They're like, we're not trying to make a thing where, like, we want soldiers that instantly heal when they get shot in the field. We're trying to do this for just the standard medical purposes of, like, oh, if someone gets super hurt or if they've got, you know, failing organs or something like that, we can help them out.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, like, yeah, but someone is still funding you. Someone owns the lab you're at. The second you finish it, they'll own it.
Right, yeah. We even get a brief mention of that. There's a point where they have to show it to investors. It's like the first conversation between Betty and Eric is, between Betty and Bruce is, hey, just so you know, the investors meeting is on Tuesday, so we have to have a presentation ready and some sort of display. And he's like, yes, I know. So that's the full extent of their conversation about it, but we know that they are planning to push what they're doing to investors, and I guess they're doing the whole thing on their own recognizance. I mean, I don't see why not. Betty in this movie despite being constantly told that she is poor, clearly owns two homes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's got her standard place that she lives in San Francisco, which already, Jesus.
It's some giant-ass six-bedroom, two-story house with fucking columns and shit out front, too.
And then she's got just a cabin in the woods that she can go to as well.
Yeah. So we keep getting told, like, oh, you should join Atheon. You could make so much more money than you make right now. You people are working on a public college level when you could be working at the cream of the crop scientist. And she's like, no, I'm okay being a bourgeoisie low-class type. Someone who doesn't really truck with the higher classes. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go to my cabin tonight and my mansion tomorrow night. I don't understand why. I guess maybe we talked about this before as well, is that people in Hollywood are so unimaginably vastly wealthy that they do not understand what most people live like.
Oh, yeah.
And they can't.
I mean, from a practical standpoint for shooting, it's much easier to have someone in a large area so that you can actually set up shots.
Oh, yeah, like, sure. And I don't need her I don't need her to live in a studio apartment. I know those are hard to film in, but to have her just clearly have a home and a vacation home, and the home is ludicrous, and we don't even ever really need to go in there, it seems silly.
Yeah. The movie, once fucking Banner gets blasted with the radiation because, what's his name, Harper, ends up fucking up trying to fix the machine at one point.
Yeah.
It's interesting that the rest of the movie, for like another hour until he essentially gets caught by the military, is just in the dark. Like, his initial transformation into the Hulk is when he's in the lab and it's nighttime, and for some reason no one has any lights on when they work in a science lab.
Right, and notably when
because
he gets
being
blasted
able to
with
see
gamma
to do science is not a thing you need.
Yeah, obviously you don't need to be able to see to do science. Science is done by instinct, John. It's a seat of the pants procedure.
Yeah, obviously. You know, you just gotta do it by gut instinct. You get in there with feelings and you really feel out the science.
Yeah, that's the way the greatest scientists of history.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
You get in there and you're just like, I'm gonna just, I don't know, take a beaker and fill it with something, and then, I don't know, we'll pour it in something else. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, you know how many books Newton filled up with stuff that wasn't quite the calculus? It was a bunch. He wasn't worried about that. He just kept throwing his hands in the game until they came out golden, which of course is the famous story of Newton and his golden hands.
Yes, Newton's golden hands, famous folk tale.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He had to have his hands replaced with gold because his original hands were eaten by Leibniz.
Oh, that's a much better history. Okay. So yeah, when he's at the lab and starts to get all angry and kind of, he has this repressed memory about what happened when he was a kid.
I hate his repressed memory. I'm just going to come out and say it. I fucking hate his repressed memory because it's the same awful shot over and over again throughout this movie. This movie's way too long. We could have done with a lot less of this shot of this four-year-old smacking two toys together and going, rah, 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 rah.
Yeah, God, I don't know what's with that kid, but he can make the worst noises.
Yeah, no, it's awful. Basically, we get a story of what happened on Gamma Bomb Detonation Day, and I'm still, this movie makes it very unclear what the fuck Gamma Bomb Detonation Day was exactly. Apparently, David Banner set off some fail safes to the wrong positions and shit in a fit of revenge against Thunderbolt Ross for shutting down his science. And that's
yeah,
what,
when
that's
Ross
what gamma,
wasn't even there.
Yeah, and that's what the Gamma incident was.
Yeah, it wasn't a bomb. It was just essentially whatever they were housing the gamma radiation in, he overloaded and it exploded, but it wasn't like a nuke actually went off.
Yeah, I mean, granted, we still get a big green mushroom cloud several times, but it's not technically a nuke. It's just a lab exploding.
Yeah.
And it happens very far away from everybody in this movie. This movie does not make the Hulk stuff about the gamma explosion. It's got nothing.
No.
It's just there to change everything in Hulk's life forever, except for giving him superpowers. It doesn't do that.
Oh, yeah. The explosion goes off in the background, but the only thing that actually matters is that he's repressed a memory of his father and his mother, because his dad came home after setting off all of this gamma nonsense, and he was like, oh, I gotta kill my kid now, because I, for some reason, I've now realized that my child is a monster, and I've gotta kill him before it's too late. And he tries to stab Bruce, and stabs the mom instead, who I kept going like, I know who you are, and I didn't realize until later that it was the Stranger Things MILF.
Yeah, that's Cara Buono. Yeah. So yeah, he accidentally kills his wife, does David Banner, and then I guess he gets arrested. But the important thing is that Bruce Banner 100% represses all of these memories. He has no memories of being 4 years old or younger.
Yeah, but all he has is the occasional nightmare where he sees the door where he can hear his parents arguing, and that's it.
Right, and they're having an interesting argument. We have to kill the kid. Why? Well, because I wasn't able to get a cure for him myself, so obviously we have to kill him. And she's like, well, can't we not kill him and, you know, see if anyone else can cure him? And he's like, damn it, no, you don't understand. I'm a scientist or something. And then he goes to kill him. And
you'd also think, you'd be like, ah, he's a monster because of an experiment I did on myself. And then you'd be like, well, aren't you a monster? Are you going to, like, off him and then yourself? Is that what's going on here?
Obviously, like, not. I'll keep working on a cure for myself, but I've run out of time for the boy.
Anything past 4 is too much.
Basically, we really are lacking a lot of... This scene is the classic Hulk scene of watching the Gamma Bomb go off in the distance, and they're in one of those constructed houses and 70s style houses in the desert, and it would be perfect if it had anything to do with the character developing the Hulk stuff.
Yep, but no. I mean, all it does is, it's what that memory is what drives Banner's inner damage, and that's the nano machines are reacting to mental trauma instead of physical trauma. Fucking whatever dumb bullshit we want to say, rather than just saying, you know, Hulk M strongest one there is.
It's true. We even have to have, this is Connelly in this movie is saddled with the worst possible lines at every turn, because she has to be like, wait, something has happened to you. You know that emotional damage can inflict physical harm on a person all the time. And he, who apparently has the same training she does, is just like, list several examples. And she's like, okay, well, often when people suffer an extreme post-traumatic stress, that's one of them. Or when they get specific diseases that make them feel like they're burning, that can cause physical damage. Anyway, the important thing is that even though you haven't turned into the Hulk yet, you will tonight in your hospital bed, and then you'll just stand there in your doorway looking creepy and then close the door.
I mean, here's the thing.
Please give me the thing.
One, when he's like, oh, tell me, she immediately goes to repressed memories, which is just like, let's just pull something out of thin air. Like, maybe you have repressed memories. I'm like, wow, way to really nail it in one.
Oh my god, I forgot about that whole conversation where she will not let him go about not being interested in discussing his birth parents.
Yeah.
That He's was
like, they're dead, I don't care. It's not like I was adopted because I was given up and I want to know what happened. My parents are dead, I know what happened.
Yeah, and she's like, I don't understand. How come you don't want to know more about them? If I were you, I'd want to learn everything I possibly could about my birth parents. And he's like, I don't want to. Please leave the subject alone. No, it's your unhealthiness that's causing me to bring this up. You need to know way more about your birth parents. I'm like, this is a boundaries issue.
Oh, yeah, this is a you issue, Betty.
Betty, let him have this one. Imagine doing that in real life to someone who was adopted, and be like, look, adopted person, your birth parents are way more important. And for them to go, no, I've established a loving and healthy relationship with the parents that actually wanted me, and they're the ones I'd prefer to spend my life dedicated to. Thank you. No, the other ones who
You're wrong.
The ones that gave biological birth to you are the only ones that matter.
Ugh. Yeah. The Hulk transformations in this, up until basically towards the end of the, all kind of happen in the dark, and I understand, I get that you were like, well, our animation sucks, so let's not, you know, put him in the bright light of day until the end of the movie where we put him in the bright light of day.
Yeah.
But it also means, watching it on my laptop, I was like, I can't tell what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, I had to put this up on a larger screen for most of it to get through the darkness. And you know, the funny thing is, for the most part, the model for the Hulk is really good and looks good moving around and so on. Like, they did a great job with the physical animation and presence of the CGI character, but they really dropped the ball on the texture mapping.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably just because that was the technology of the time. But basically, so you have this picture-perfect Hulk skeleton and frame where he looks really good, taking bullet wounds, showing really strong facial emotions, you know, rippling muscles and everything. It looks all very well done. But when you look at the texture map, he's just, you know, he basically has the same texture coat that Shrek does.
Yes. It's it's just sad when you're like, oh.
Yeah. So
I will say this for it, though. The one thing that this movie does with the Hulk that you don't really see at all in the next iterations is they really play into the whole, like, the madder he gets, the stronger he gets, because you will see him physically grow as he gets more angry.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain this is the largest the Hulk's ever been in a movie, because there's points in this movie where he's identifiably well more than twice the height of Betty, so he's somewhere in the 13 to 14 foot tall range.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there are times in this film when he gets to his largest in growth where you're like, man, you have got to be, like, pushing 16, 17 feet. And I appreciate that, again, for the whole visual aesthetic that Ang Lee is going for, like, this is a comic book style thing. We want the Hulk to be this larger than life presence. We're doing lots of visual playing with how we structure scenes, but we're also going to play with, you know, the physicality and size of the Hulk. It just also, like you mentioned, at times looks like angry Shrek is punching a tank.
Yeah. And this movie and the I can't remember his name, the Incredible Hulk movie that came out after
the Norton one.
The Norton one. They both have the advantage of Hulk being the protagonist and main character, so he can really cut loose and be ultra strong. You know, as much as I love the Ruffalo Hulk, and don't get me wrong, I absolutely love Ruffalo Hulk, he's the Worf of the MCU. Like, in every movie that the Hulk is in the MCU, it's so he can get beat up or show how great the real threat is.
I mean, I'll say this, not in the first Avengers movie. They play him as the main badass in Avengers 1.
I guess you could say he does get beaten by Thor at one point, and also...
He doesn't, though.
He does. He gets caught under the hammer and has to escape from that, and then he gets tricked into the dispensing chamber and shot towards Earth, where he falls unconscious when he gets there. He gets bested, at least.
Yeah, he gets bested for, you know, people fighting smarter than him, but when it comes down to, like, what is the biggest threat that exists, in Avengers 1, it's basically just the Hulk.
Yeah. Well, they have this constant problem in the MCU where they can't, and they run it as a joke, where no one's sure who would actually win in a straight-up fight between Hulk and Thor.
And I like that they don't have to fucking mash their toys together just because of that.
Maybe if they also went, ah, when they did, that'd be great. I don't know. Let's get back on topic, I guess. He turns into the Hulk one night because he's lying in his hospital bed after eating a huge gamma explosion. And after Betty finally leaves him alone, his dad shuffles in and is like, hey, boy. You're my boy. Yep.
Now you're my creation in more way than one, not just because I had sex with your mama.
Yeah. It basically just kind of gives him an idle threat slash is generally menacing and weird, because that's basically Nick Nolte's character in this, is generally menacing and weird.
Except there are times in this where when he's talking to Bruce, he's like,
oh, my sweet boy, they tried to keep me away from you for so long, and this is the only way I could see you.
And it seems like he's trying to be, like, an actual caring father, and then, like, 2 minutes later is like,
yeah, anyway, murder you, burger.
You're like, come on, man, just get one characterization. Just one.
Yeah.
Give me a thing.
He definitely has characterization, especially because his power set, because, you know, spoiler alert, he has the exact same problems that Hulk does, or that Bruce Banner does, and he eventually rebuilds the gamma machine that turned Bruce into Hulk and shoots himself with it, But does it turn him into a Hulk? Oh, no. It turns him into an ersatz absorbing man.
Yeah. Instead of being like, oh, I turn into Abomination, which would sort of make sense,
mm-hmm.
or any one of the other many, many gamma-powered villains that Hulk has, instead mm-hmm. he's just like, oh, I'm kind of like the Absorbing Man and the T-1000 at the same time.
Yeah, because his whole deal is not just that he can pick up the properties of whatever he's touching, which he can do. Like, he rests his hand on an iron railing and his hand turns into iron, but he can also like stick his fingers through the thing that he's turned into. Like when he's got his hand turned into iron, he can run his hand through the iron and it reforms behind him.
Yeah, it's not that he is absorbing the properties so much as he is like becoming one with whatever he touches.
Right. And he uses this to some really interesting effect. Like, he also has some bog-standard super strength that comes with it. So he'll do things like turn his foot into the railing on the ground in front of him and use it to trip a guard before smashing him. But the line he has before he does that, once he gets his superpowers, some guy's like, the line he has before he does that, he's got some guard pointing a gun at him, and he's like, look, man, I don't want to have to shoot you. Why don't you just come along quietly? And Nick Nolte has to go, hey, do you really think there's a difference between us? Or we're not the same person? And then he smashes him, and I'm just like, yeah, I get it. You're made of all the things, and all the things are made of you now. It'd be neat if you did anything that had anything to do with that line in the future.
Oh, yeah. If that was, like, it's a line that you think, oh, wow, okay, I guess you've become one with things. All right, sure. No, that has nothing to do with anything. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, there's no point in the movie where he touches another person and, like, goops them into them or whatever. So his whole thing where he's like, you and I are made of the same stuff is like, yeah, but that's got nothing to do with anything. You're going to hit him real hard with a filing cabinet.
Yeah. And he, before this, I gotta say, in probably the most infamous thing in this movie, makes his dogs into Hulk dogs and sends them after Betty Ross, and the Hulk has to fight Hulk dog.
Yeah, that is true. And it's one of those scenes that's done in such darkness, and they even try to play with the lighting. There's a point where Betty tries to get her headlights turned on so she can see what's happening, but oh no, they're off fighting in different darkness somewhere else.
Oh yeah. Oh, it would be awful if we actually had, you know, anything illuminated. So instead, that scene, I went in and specifically like turned the brightness of my screen like all the way up because it was just completely unbearable to be like, okay, I can tell that movement is happening and I can hear dogs growling and a Hulk going, and that's about it.
Well, you know, good news, even with I wasn't watching this on my computer, I was watching it on a real TV. That's just what it is. That's what you're supposed to see. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and guess that that's because the dogs would look fucking stupid if you could see them.
Mm, I mean, they do.
I mean, you get a couple shots of them posing or menacing or so on, or when Hulk is wrestling them, that give you the idea of their actual kind of strength and size and what they are. But boy, do they ever look dumb. I mean, they kind of just look like when the in the mask, when the dog got the mask.
Right? It's just not good.
I'm glad that at least they didn't turn green. That was one thing I was appreciative of. And yeah, I do like...
He beats them and then they explode in green poofs.
I mean, one of the things you could definitely talk about with this movie is how pathetically G-rated it is. It's a little prophetic for the days of the current Hulk, where he established, God, what is that character's name? Darwin or something? The one who's the current Hulk, where he's a like an Asian teenager.
Oh, the Immortal Hulk?
Yeah.
Amadeus Cho.
Amadeus Cho, thank you. Where there's an Amadeus Cho before he became the Hulk thing, where he calculates that the Hulk doesn't actually kill anybody.
Oh, yeah. He's like, everyone thinks you're just sort of a mindless brute, but Banner's brain is still in there doing stuff because you'll go on ridiculous, huge damaging rampages and no one will die, and the improbability of that for random chance is just astronomical, which means you're consciously not hurting people.
Yeah, it takes you more effort to not hurt people with the shit you do, and you're putting in the effort. And that appears to be the case in this movie. There's a point where he picks up a tank with three people in it and throws it a mile and it lands and they get out.
Oh yeah. They're He destroys, I want to say, at least 4 helicopters that we see, and all of them just sort of crash land but not explode and no one dies.
Yeah, they send a bunch of modern attack helicopters after him at one point in this movie, and he keeps jumping on them and pulling their propellers off, and then he just fall into sand, and they're like, we're okay.
It's all right.
Everybody's fine. If anyone dies in this movie, it's because they did it to themselves.
Hell yeah.
After
he saves Betty from the Hulk dogs,
there is
that's
one
when
shot
the military gets him.
Yeah, there is one shot in the Hulk dog thing I appreciated, which was the like a pit bull one gets its teeth around his shoulder, and he responds by swelling big enough that just his shoulder growing cracks the dog's skull open.
Yeah, he just flexes the dog's mouth off.
Yeah, and then, you know, grabs the dog and turns it into green poof, because can't do anything gross.
Oh, yeah, no. And also, we can't deal with, like, okay, but what happens if he, like, murders these 3 giant dogs? Like, what are we going to do with that? And they're like, I don't know. They just explode. Who cares?
They just poof. Don't worry about it. That's what happens to... If he died, he'd probably just poof. That's the thing that we're learning from this.
Oh, yeah. Because we can't have any physical evidence, because then the rest of the movie where everyone's like, oh, we just want, like, some of your genetic material when you're the Hulk. We want to get a little piece off of you would be pointless, because they go, oh, we got Hulk dogs. We can just use...
Yeah, just use the Hulk dogs. It's fine. We can make a race of super dogs. It's the new type of soldier. Anyway, yeah, Betty had tricked him into helping her... Well, not to help her fight the dogs, but just into being where he was, because she gives him a hug, and then the military tranquilizes him, and now he's caught by the military.
Yeah. Now, I love that they're like, we're going to put him in a deep stasis. We're going to essentially put him in a chemical coma because he's too dangerous to be awake. And, you know, that's fair. He has definitely shown to be ridiculously powerful. He put several people into the hospital and caused untold property damage at the lab when he turned into the...
Mm-hmm.
But then all it takes is Betty going, yeah, but Daddy, I want to talk to him. And he's like, yeah, sure, why not? Let's let him out.
Yeah, because
let's let him walk around in the desert.
Yeah, they give him a lot of, by him, I mean Thunderbolt Ross, they give him a lot of, like, nope, you're going to be listening to me now. Everyone's following my orders. Oh, I can't say no to my daughter.
Yeah, I just love that they're like, the conversation she has is like, oh, let me talk to him because, you know, he knows me and we can try and see if we can cure him because I'm, you know, a scientist and I want to be able to see if we can do something. And instead of being like, no, or even, yes, you can talk to him in our ridiculous underground bunker facility.
Yeah, a controlled environment.
Like, yeah, just have him go fucking walk around in the old desert town. That's fine.
Yeah, take him back to the place where his family broke down. That definitely will not turn him back into the Hulk.
Yeah, take him to a place where all of his repressed memories are, and try to get him to confront everything that has made him absolutely the angriest in life. That should work out fine.
And that's what she's doing again here. And I gotta say, I really don't like this look on Betty, where she takes him to the house he grew up in until he was 4 or 5, and she's like, remember what happened here. You have to remember your birth parents. And I keep thinking, why? I mean, I guess we're maybe trying to figure out why he's a monster. Sure, I guess. But beyond that...
I mean, for me, it was like, I understand that what you're trying to do is be like, you need to confront your trauma so you can get over it so that you aren't constantly turning into the Hulk because of your trauma. Thing is, Betty, you aren't a psychologist or a psychiatrist. You're a, you know, gamma physicist. You're not the one who should be doing this. This is why you don't just let whoever be like, hey, yo, you got trauma? Let me deal with it.
Well, anyway, taking him to his old house works. He remembers his childhood for the most part. But it doesn't turn him into the Hulk or anything, and they just go back to the military facility, and he just gets locked back up again.
Yep. But, oh, here comes Talbot, and he, I guess, managed to convince the government to give him complete control over a giant military underground facility and also the most powerful being in existence, because that's what we do.
Yeah, this is our point by which Talbot gets to become the bad guy for a little while, while softening Thunderbolt Ross's character.
Oh, yeah, because Ross has to be like, oh, baby girl, I'd love to help out your banner, but, you know, it's out of my hands. I still got to take orders, and they put Talbot in charge, and now I can't do anything. My hands are tied. You can't even go see him. I'm so sorry. I'm a reasonable person, and Talbot is so fucking crazy.
Yep. Well, Talbot is crazy. He got beat up by the Hulk a few days ago when he tried to confront Banner in his lab, not realizing that, oh no, in Betty's home, not realizing that Betty or that the Hulk was the Hulk, and he got thrown out of a house and broke most of the bones in his body. So here he comes now, all covered in bandages and on crutches, and it's payback time. And his plan is to turn Banner into the Hulk so he could drill out a chunk of him.
Yeah. He's like, ooh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come in here and cattle prod you, and one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to turn green for me, and then I'm going to kill you and cut a piece of you off, or you're not, and maybe I go a little too far, huh? Maybe I break your neck. Oh, it's a win-win either way for me. And I'm like, yeah, my dude, you saw what happened when he turned into the Hulk. You're absolutely fucked at this point. Like, as far as your leg is still broken, your arm is broken, you've probably got, like, a few broken ribs, and no one is in the room with you. You're like, oh, I'm going to zap you until you turn green, and then people will come in and kill you. Like, yeah, but what happens if he turns green and just slaps you against the wall and kills you?
It's true. Well, he has his own army of private security who he assumes will be able to take this thing down. No problem. After all, everything else hasn't worked, so this has got to be the thing that will.
But I mean, even with that, they're not in the room. They would have to come in the room and stop him. And in that time, he would be alone with the Hulk in a very tiny room.
Very true. It's very true. But Banner, obviously, doesn't want to become the Hulk if he doesn't have to. So he's just kind of taking whatever Talbot's given. And then in response to that, Talbot puts him in a water chamber and shocks him a bunch of times. And is like, this will turn him into the Hulk. And it does.
Yeah, we've got some sort of brainwave stimulating machine or something where they're like, oh yeah, we're going to put him in this, like, I guess, sensory deprivation chamber and then zap his brain so that he starts thinking about things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And it works. It turns him into the Hulk, but the Hulk just immediately breaks out of the chamber thing.
Well, yeah, because the second he starts turning, they're like, all right, now drill into him and get a little piece of him. They're like, yeah, no, that's not working. The drill does not go into his skin. He's like, well, drill harder.
Yeah, I guess what? We definitely tried that, and uh-oh, he's out. Oh, he got out. And they're like, okay, activate a bunch of random countermeasures. Nothing does anything. Eventually, they just spray the Hulk with rapid hardening super foam.
And when they can't manage to get a sample out of him and he's breaking out of the foam, Talbot's big idea is, I'm going to take a little, like, rocket-propelled grenade thing and shoot the Hulk with it. And it bounces off of the Hulk and goes behind him and blows him up.
It does? Okay, I was so confused about this. I didn't see the exact moment when it bounced off the Hulk's armor or whatever. I thought Talbot literally just shot the gun backwards because he was a moron.
No, he shoots the Hulk and the rocket just sort of hits him in the chest and then flies back and ricochets into the wall.
Yeah, and then it just... So basically Talbot's the one guy in this movie who dies because he cooks himself with a thermal missile.
I mean, we don't get to see it because it just, as soon as the explosion happens, stops and turns into like a comic book panel where it's a frozen frame of him with fire behind him.
Yeah, but also in front, he gets swallowed up by the fire in the frame. So there's a point where he vanishes because the fire took over or came around in front of him. So I assume he's supposed to be dead, and he never gets mentioned again. So you know what? Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows?
Who could possibly
Maybe
know?
Later he decided to become Graviton or something.
Maybe he's having a quiet love with Harper.
He's just having his schvitz.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hulk busts his way outside. He sure does. Because honestly, it's because it's what Ross wanted. He's like, I don't want that thing rampaging around in my base. Let's light up a path for him to get out, and then we can fight him with the big weapons.
Yeah. And this is the best Hulk physical work in the movie, but also it's broad daylight and the worst that the Hulk looks.
Yeah. I mean, he is kind of on the bright green spectrum.
And it's interesting to me because they get so much of his physicality down. The Hulk jumping in particular in this is so good.
Oh, yeah. They do a great job with the whole Hulk can jump several miles at a time and he can run crazy fast. They get the movement speed concept of the Hulk down flawlessly. He just looks ridiculous doing it because the texture mapping.
Yeah. And, you know, like we mentioned before, he, like, hits a tank with another tank. He blows up a bunch of helicopters and manages to get to San Francisco. And the only thing that can stop him is his love for Betty Ross as she, like, walks down some stairs and is like, hey, what up?
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime he sees Betty Ross, he just loses his hulkiness and turns back into a guy. And this time, you know, it's just like every other time. He sees her, he walks down towards her, they hug each other, but at least they don't dart him now.
Yeah, they're like, okay, we get it. We can't actually fucking do anything. So now they're like, all right, we're going to put him in a chair in between two giant incinerators?
I have no idea what this fucking shit is. This is the same thing where they're just, where their whole thing is like, well, Thunderbolt Ross represents absolute military control and precision and security and trying his best. And the first thing that happens is him being like, well, I lost control of him to a regular old mad scientist. That happens to me all the time. Okay, well, we have him again. What do you want to do with him? I don't know. Put him in between two big metal things that probably kill him or something. And then let's just put his fucking dad in there and see what that does.
Yeah, I mean, he came to Betty earlier and was like, oh, I'll turn myself in as long as I can see my son one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows that he's got superpowers at this point. But the fact that they're like, oh, yeah, let's just let him into that room. Let's not send anyone else with them, like some sort of security escort, because everyone else is like way outside the building. They're in like a giant warehouse by themselves and everyone else is waiting outside. So even if they were like, oh, yeah, we need someone to go in there and stop that guy, it would take him a fucking minute.
And that didn't even, they didn't even mic anybody. Like, because the first thing that, like, the idea is that he's supposed to go in there and talk to Banner and help him sort of calm down and not become the Hulk. But the first thing that David Banner does on walking in is, like, lean over and be like, you're a shitty piece of crap, boy. I don't even like you. I only want the Hulk. That's my real son.
Yeah, you're just a meat suit, and my real boy's in there. The green one is my child.
Yeah, if they had mic'd the room or anything, they would be like, oh, shut it down. He's trying to turn him into the Hulk. That was his first move.
Like, literally the very first thing he says is like, oh, I want the Hulk to come out. They should have just gone, and we're done here. All right, goodbye.
Press the button that smashes them into each other. Yeah, it's so dumb. It doesn't make any fucking sense. I mean, I guess it's supposed to be a comic book thing, so sure, why not? But the two of them yell at each other for a while, and then David Banner decides to reveal that he's Absorbing Man by eating lightning.
Yeah, he chews through one of the power cables for these giant incinerator machines that are on either side of Banner and turns into lightning.
Yeah, he becomes a 20-foot-tall lightning man, and then he turns himself into a lightning bolt and somehow carries the Hulk along with him.
Yeah, he just sort of, like, grabs Banner and takes him into the clouds as a lightning bolt. And we get, I mean, it's some fun, neat visual effects of, like, lightning going off. And in the flashes, you can see, like, Hulk throwing punches in a cloud.
Yeah,
and you're like, that looks sort of neat, but what is he hitting?
It looked very comic booky, on purpose, obviously, but because it was single frames. They weren't showing animation of the Hulk throwing punches in the clouds. It was individual drawings of the Hulk in various action poses in the sky.
Yeah.
Which honestly was pretty funny.
And then they land and his dad decides to turn into the Thing by absorbing a bunch of rocks.
Yep.
And
this is the one part of this fight that makes any fucking sense, because at least they both have physical bodies, so they're kind of just punching at each other.
Yeah. And then he throws him in the lake and then he becomes a water guy. And it turns out, like, David Banner's molecules, when he turned into this thing, they don't have the same cohesion that Bruce does. So he is trying to drain Bruce's abilities as, like, an Absorbing Man type thing, where he's like, oh, the more in contact I am with you, the more I can absorb what it is that makes you you. So I'm gonna try and stabilize myself with that. And we get the classic, oh, the villain gets more powerful with blank, but what if we give him too much blank?
Yeah.
Except now it's anger?
Yeah, he wants the Hulk's rage, because apparently that'll cohesify his situation or something. So he's like, I'm just going to take your anger. You're not going to need it anymore. It's going to drain you to death. And so we get the one of the two spoken lines by the Hulk in the movie, with the other one being puny human. But now he says, you think you could take it? Take it all. And
yeah.
Then we just don't even know what happens. He just, I guess, rages as much as he can and wins, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, fucking his dad turns into what looks like a mushroom made out of water.
Mm-hmm.
And then they drop a gamma bomb on them, which seems like it would be a bad idea.
Yeah, that would seem like the one thing that we know that has powered these people up.
Yeah, you're like, oh, what happened? Oh, well, they got hit with gamma radiation and it activated all the stuff that made them into monsters. And you're like, why don't we hit them with a lot of gamma radiation?
And indeed they do. And presumably, Nick Nolte is killed. Heck, they think both of them are dead.
Yeah, that works on him, but not on Bruce. And I guess they just didn't recover him because they think they're both dead.
Yeah, well, obviously they're not going to go to the site where they set off a gamma bomb. It's going to be all crowded with gamma radiation. I guess no one ever needs to visit Pear Lake anymore, because that's what it was. That's what, at least in the movie, they were like, they're at Pear Lake, sir. Perfect. We can blow up Pear Lake.
No one likes Pear Lake.
It's the shitty of the lakes. Okay. And we get to the denouement. Thunderbolt Ross and his daughter are sort of reconciling, but not really. And he's like, hey, if you ever see that Bruce Banner again, you're going to tell me, right? And she's like, no. No, I am definitely not.
And also, it wouldn't matter because you've tapped my phone and my computer and have me under constant surveillance. Like, if he tried to get in contact with me, you'd probably know before I did.
Yeah, but he hasn't, and that's because... And this is neat, because this is actually a bit that is carried over into the Ed Norton movie. He has gone to South America to kind of be an erstwhile... he's basically doing Doctors Without Borders.
Yeah, he's just down there, you know, giving medicine to people who need it and just being sort of a doctor, even though, again, I don't know that he was a medical doctor. I feel like he was just a physicist, but whatever.
Hey, at least in the MCU, we know he holds like 7 PhDs, so he probably is a medical doctor. But not here. We have no idea. But the neat thing is that despite The Incredible Hulk not being a sequel to Ang Lee's Hulk, it does open with Ed Norton being Bruce Banner in Central America.
Yeah, I mean, The Incredible Hulk is basically the sequel to Hulk. They just sort of forget a lot of the dumber things from it. Because they're like, all right, we're going to go ahead and say that, yes, we already know that the Hulk exists. We're going to put him in the same place where we had him at the end of this one. But we're going to go ahead and just ignore that whole giant electric dad thing.
Giant Electric Dad is one of my favorite prog rock bands, by the way.
I said, ooh, girl, hit me with an electric dad.
All right, everybody at this wedding, onto the dance floor. It's time to do the Electric Dad.
Yeah, so there you go. And he, of course, gets to have his famous you wouldn't like me when I'm angry line, but he can only do it if it's in Spanish.
Yeah, if he did it in English, it'd be corny.
Yeah.
Lord
like,
knows.
He does at least say once, hey, you're making me angry. But
yeah.
He doesn't get to follow it up with the you wouldn't like me when I'm angry line until, you know, the end of the movie.
Yeah, they hit all the beats they needed. They gave him that line and the puny human line. And there you go. I no Hulk smash. I think we don't get Hulk smash.
We get no Hulk smash and no leave Hulk alone, which are basically the only two things that Hulk should say aside from puny human.
Right. I'm thinking the only actual Hulk smash in a movie has been in the Ed Norton Hulk.
I think so.
I think he yells it when he's jumping at the Abomination at one point.
I mean, we'll probably just have to do The Incredible Hulk as well.
Oh, I think as much as I hate Ed Norton in the role, I really don't think he was a good Bruce Banner or a good Hulk. I really like Tim Roth as the villain in that.
Right? Fuck it. Well, Tim Roth is great. He is a treasure.
Yeah, I mean, and it's got, who's, I never remember his name, but the guy playing effectively the leader in that is also very good.
Yes. They've got a good supporting cast of people in there.
Yeah, they really do. And God, is it ever a waste that they are setting up the leader at the end of that movie, and then they don't actually do it?
Yeah. Damn you bastards.
Yeah.
Anyway. There you go. There is Ang Lee's Hulk for you. And let's go ahead and do our bests and worsts.
Tim Blake Nelson. Tim Blake Nelson was the leader in that. God, I can remember Ty Burrell.
Tim Blake Nelson. He's my favorite thing.
Yeah, he's awesome in that movie. God, it was killing me because I was like, fuck you, my brain. I can remember Ty Burrell was in the movie, but I can't remember Tim Blake Nelson. Okay, so favorites and least favorites in this thing? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, give me your favorite thing in Hulk.
I'm going to have to say, I've said it a couple times throughout this episode, but the physicality of the Hulk model is very on point. Like, when he's smashing stuff, you believe it. When he takes the turret off one tank and baseball bats it into another tank, you feel the impact. It feels real, and it's well realized. I mean, yes, he looks like a crappy PlayStation 2 version of himself, but the physicality and stunt work of the character is very impressively done. So, that's my favorite. And you?
I'm going to have to go and say, I mean, it's along those lines, but honestly, my favorite very specific thing in here is the Hulk jumping when he's in the desert. The way in which he lands and has to do sort of a stutter step and then, you know, get his feet under him and jump again. The distances that he can cover depending on like the lead up time that he has to the jump. Everything feels like it was so well thought out that.
They even did the hard shot of him in midair and not looking like he's flying.
Yeah.
Where they show the wind whipping along on him.
Yeah, he's just doing a jump and he's like, yeah, I look like I am jumping and not just some guy in midair.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I feel like that was very well shot. It's funny. Both of us are going to pick these special effect things and the movie is, you know, not.
No.
I mean, I got to say, I did appreciate the Lou Ferrigno cameo.
Yeah, I mean, we get a little Stanley Lou Ferrigno talking to each other as security guards.
I was trying to remember what the first Stanley cameo was when I was seeing this, and I knew it wasn't this, because this is 2003, and he has cameos in the X-Men movies. And the actual answer is his first ever film role cameo was in the TV Incredible Hulk movie.
Oh, yeah.
1989. He has a non-speaking role as a member on the jury.
Yeah, man, I gotta say, I fucking love the Thor and the Hulk TV movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That shit was tight.
It's fun as hell. Sure isn't it stupid, but it's fun as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Worst thing in the movie for you?
I don't know. I might go with his dad's motivation. It doesn't make any sense at any point. It feels like he's just very scattershot and all over the place. I'm never quite sure what I'm supposed to be reading about him.
Oh, yeah. He basically just is whatever they need for the scene. They're like, oh, do we need him to be like a sad dad? All right, he's a sad dad. Does he need to be an angry dad? He's an angry dad now.
Now, is he going to suddenly have a fire and brimstone streak? He does. Yeah, don't worry about that. Yeah, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, I definitely also hated that.
So I'm going to say that's my least favorite.
Yeah, I'm going to say my least favorite thing, honestly, just all of the scenes that take place in far too much darkness.
Oh, sure.
Trying to follow anything that happens in just the worst.
And, you know, and I don't.
It just takes away from what's going on. Because you're like, I'm trying to tell what's happening.
I don't care that the Hulk dogs seem like they might be kind of a stupid idea. I actually think it's kind of a neat idea, Hulk dogs. But you don't get to see them.
Yeah. I'm like, if you're going to do Hulk dogs, great. Do some Hulk dogs. He can fight some Hulk dogs. Whatever. But if all you're going to do is say, oh, we think it's kind of stupid, so we're going to make it so you can't see anything, I'm like, then don't put the fucking scene in the movie. You've just made me look at a dark screen with a few moving objects maybe for a good 5-6 minutes, and it's a waste.
Yeah, no, I can agree with you on that.
All right, so now we will give the movie each a rating from 0 to 5 to give the rating a full total 1 to 10. Jeff?
2.5. This is pretty middle of the road for me. I didn't hate it as much as I was on my single viewing from way back around 2005. I kind of remembered absolutely hating this, but on the second watch, I don't hate it. I just don't think it's as impressive as it needed to be. So a 2.5.
That's fair.
And
I mean,
you?
I think I'm going to give it a 2.5 as well, mostly because it's, I mean, you watch it and you're like, man, some of this is just laughably bad. But at least, you know, like we mentioned, there are some very good things that they do right in this film. It's just most of that isn't plot related.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. The plot is very wild and scattershot and doesn't feel like it actually, It feels like it was an afterthought almost entirely.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing was just like, oh, we have an idea of some scenes we want to do, and we're just going to kind of string some shit along until we get there.
And it feels like the scenes they wanted to do were largely pulled from, you know, comic book panels, where they were like, oh, well, famously, the Hulk is associated with a big green gamma bomb going off in the desert, so let's put it in there. It won't do anything, but let's put it in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the scene where his mom dies, that we actually see, like, her walk out of the house, and then the bomb goes off in the background once he remembers, like, everything that happened from his repressed
it's true.
Memories.
It's a cool shot. They show her reaching out for, like, the mushroom cloud as if she's trying to take hold of it, but it's not what kills her. She's hella stabbed already.
Oh, yeah. It also, God, I can't remember the name of the painting, but the woman who's sort of, like, in a field that's, like, reaching out,
it's
very much constructed in the same style as that.
Yeah,
I wish I could remember what it's called.
You're right. This movie kind of has a sort of a Watchmen-y vibe to it, where it feels more like they were trying to recreate comic book scenes than worry about how they fit together.
Yeah.
So that's probably where the 2.5 is coming from.
Yeah. You know, this has Feige behind it, so it's got all the people that we have now. It just didn't quite pan out the way you'd want to.
Even I would be okay with this with even just a judicious cut,
because
it's too long, and it could well be shortened down and be a lot better.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
So I don't know. That's where we're coming from. A 5 out of 10.
You know what? The thing I was thinking of is Christina's World is the painting.
Okay, I'm glad you were able to find that out.
There we go. So thank you so much for joining us. If you want to continue listening to some content, we have more to do. Over at patreon.com/systemmastery, you can find all of our bonus content over there. And we've got new bonus content for this show, where we do TV mastery. We go in and we're watching right now the first season of Smallville, and we'll move on from there to some other stuff. But right now, ooh, baby, it's some dumb garbage, and if you love us ragging on shitty superhero stuff, then you should love that too.
Oh man, yeah, I can't wait for this episode. Tony Todd's in this one.
Yeah. Oh god, you hate to see it.
You really do. Oh, he does not get treated well. So that's at the $5 level. So if you are already there for the afterthought, what a heck of a deal that is. We just tripled your content for, you know, $5 a month, which is what you're already giving us.
Hell yeah. So, and if you weren't there, then hey, come on up. You get more content. You get the monthly content. You get access to stuff on our Discord. It's a whole deal of a thing.
Yeah, you get a heck of a deal on this one. So come join us at patreon.com/sys, and we'll see you there.
That's right. And until next time, you have a good one.